Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians. We've been reading this for a bit of time. Today, my message is entitled Alignment, and we're gonna just catch up with the theme of this year. Our God is a God of order, and so Colossians 1:28. Remember, this is why we do what we do. Colossians 1:28. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank You, God, today. We thank You for bringing us here, Lord. And we know things are getting more chaotic, God, here in Hong Kong every day. The cases are rising, Lord, and so for the time being, God, we're allowed to gather, and so we just consider it an absolute privilege, God, and a joy to be able to do that, to see brothers and sisters, Lord, just to be a part and witness, God, the way that You're moving and the way that we're worshiping You, Lord, and what an incredible blessing, God. And now, Lord, we just come humbly to Your Word, and we ask You to speak to us through it, God. To that end, we ask You to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that You use me to preach Your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey Your words, God, but convey Your heart. God, we thank You, Lord. We love You in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 So, again, our theme this year comes from 1 Corinthians 14. And so, you know, we just finished just a kind of a mini thing on membership. And so we're rounding the corner to the end of the year. And we're just going to really kind of hit this theme quite hard as we finish out this year. Remember, our God is a God of order, right? Out of the chaos, God brings His order. And I mentioned before that usually around this time is when I start praying, and then I kind of lead the other lead pastors of our churches to pray about the theme for the next year. And this theme, God of Order, came so early that I was actually quite surprised, because there usually is kind of a rhythm, like a spiritual rhythm for me personally. And who would have thought this would have been the most chaotic year of our lives? I mean, I just think that, and 2020 is going to be over soon, and then most of us can't wait for the year to be over, and just are dying for some kind of normalcy to begin in our lives. When COVID first happened really early on, I posed this question to our board and to our staff, and it was this idea, and to be honest, I still don't know the answer to this, but I think we're seeing it on unravel a bit before us. But we ask this thing, is this a storm? You know, is this pandemic? And before, remember, it wasn't even called a pandemic. They're just trying to figure out what it was. It was, remember, the Wuhan virus the whole time, or the China virus. And I know you're not supposed to say that anymore, but remember, that's how it started out. And so we ask the question, well, is this a storm? Is this going to just pass us by? Or is this winter? Is this a season? This is not just going to be a few days or a week. Is this going to be a period of time? Or the other question is, or is this the ice age? Is it a storm? Is it a season? Is it winter? Or is it ice age? Or is this the new normal? Is it going to be like this? Is every picture that you see from this day forward going to require people wearing masks? I mean, it's almost, you can see this kind of, this timeline is so clear. I've been entertaining myself quite a bit. I know it sounds really weird, but I've been self-entertaining myself watching a lot of YouTube these days, and I've been watching a lot of Dodger highlights, because, you know, they won the World Series this year, which is huge. No amen, no clap, I guess it's okay. But so they won the World Series, and so I'm watching these highlights, and I'm having a lot of joy doing that. But it's crazy because now in some of the highlights, there's fans, you know, or even basketball highlights, and then there's some, there's no fans. And there's clearly a timeline, and it shows very clearly how this works. This has been our year. And now we're in the midst of a fourth wave, potentially. You know, I just wish these guys wouldn't jump the gun so much. And, you know, I mean, just a few cases. All of a sudden, oh, it's fourth wave, or it's third wave, or it's this. And, you know, let it play it out a little bit before we you know, lock everything down once again. And so, but this is turning into the new normal. Now, maybe a year ago, no one has ever heard of Zoom. For most of us, we would consider it to be a Nike running shoe. But now, we know it's this teleconferencing app. Is it an app? It's one of those computer things, right? It's this teleconferencing thing. And it's crazy. You know, the guy that created Zoom made $12 billion since March. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I heard he lost a little bit of money because Zoom went down a little bit. But he made $12 billion since March. I mean, it's crazy. We're all aware of this. And you know, we've been home at certain times, and we had to watch service on TV, and you know, and it's been challenging in those things, and there's been great parts of Zoom, and we're able to do things. We're going to have a Zoom conference in January, the first one where all our churches can participate. But we also recognize there's also some downfalls to remote church and these type of things. It's interesting. One of the blessings is I'm in this small group. And we're spending some time with Os Guinness, and he's been sharing to, you know, a small group of pastors, and he gives a short lecture, and then it's just basically Q&A the whole time, and that's kind of the beauty, the blessing of Zoom, right? I mean, he doesn't have to fly in, we don't have to fly anywhere, and so we can just do it in the comfort of, you know, our living rooms or our offices at home or these type of things. But he said something, and it really kind of, I mean, it really marked me a little bit. And he was talking about, you know, modern technologies, talking about, you know, this Zoom culture and things that are happening. And, I mean, great to have these tools, but he said something. He says, the downfall is it introduces a casualness to our faith. He told us pastors, he says, be careful because it introduces a casualness to our faith. In other words, right now, people can just literally wake up just before 9 o'clock. Yeah, I'm talking to some of you, okay? You can wake up just before 9 o'clock and enter SP service in your underwear. Okay, hopefully I'm not talking to anyone, but it introduces a casualness. It, you know, in a casualness to our faith, which is not necessarily the best thing either. And so in this new normal, we're having to traverse this idea. How can I have a worship service at home that's full of the holy and, you know, all these things? And I mean, not that just coming to church means you have that either, but there become more challenges into our lives. And I confess, you know, even for myself, I've been waiting for this thing to end, and you know, keeping my ear towards vaccines and these type of things. And I think a few months ago, I was sharing with some people, you know, a few months ago, and I was just kind of like, we're all just kind of waiting. We're waiting to travel. You know, we're waiting to do things. We're waiting almost seemingly on a biweekly basis, waiting for government rules to be changed or, you know, shrunk or expanded. We're just constantly waiting and waiting and waiting. And I got caught into that, dreaming of when everything will come back to normal and these type of things. And then just realizing in my quiet time that maybe God didn't like that normal. That maybe that normal was really bad. This kind of life devoid of God in many ways, and maybe God was doing something. And I heard this still small voice in my heart, and it was just so clear. And he said, "Son, don't just survive, thrive in this time. Just thrive. Don't just survive, thrive." And you know, my circumstances didn't change. I mean, nothing really changed, but my heart changed. And I realized that, yeah, I was reacting this whole time. I was waiting. I was just surviving. I was on survival mode. And instead, as a child of God, God wanted me to thrive in this situation. In this climate, if there's any climate in the last, 50 years, I've been alive for 50 years, in the last 50 years where the church can really arise and thrive, it's this time. We can show the world, be a lamppost to the world about how we live in uncertain times. Why? Because our God is a God of order. God takes chaos and he turns it into order. That's God's heart. That's what he does. That's who he is in this way. You know, the vision of SP is always to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. This is always what we came to get and run after. Our mission as a church is a place where people can encounter God. We talk about a truth encounter. We talk about a love encounter. And then what my professor, Dr. Kraft, Charles Kraft, he's the one who came up with these three ideas. The beauty part, he says, the allegiance encounter. And he says, by far, the most important is the allegiance. In other words, walking this out every single day. Brothers and sisters, how are the people of God, the sons and daughters of God, how are they going to walk out their faith every single day in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of COVID? You know, one of my great pleasures of being around SP, and November, you know, also marks, you know, for me, I guess it would have been 18 years, celebrating 18 years that we came to Hong Kong in November 2002. And I remember because I came a week before my birthday. And so can you imagine, I came to the church, you know, we had about 6-7 people. And then I told them it's my birthday. And so I said, so where are you guys going to take me out next week? That was my introduction to this new church that we started. And you know, it was amazing. And I, one thing I've just loved so much is just watching people grow. Just watching them grow. You know, you got to realize all healthy living things grow. You got to understand, you know, the biblical imperative is that we grow. Every single one of us, we are supposed to grow. I'm not talking about church size, because that's not very indicative of spiritual growth. But every single one of us, there should be some growth that happens in our life. Right? The call for every believer is to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So today, I want to talk about spiritual growth a bit. And I want to talk about this idea of alignment in this way. You understand, God desires all of us to grow. There's ways that God has created growth to happen in our lives. We're supposed to grow as people. And the crazy thing, in Christianity, the growth, the growing as a person is equal, is inversely related to the death that we also live out as well. And so it doesn't seem to make sense. You know, you grow in Christianity, you grow by dying. That's how you really grow. And I just want to call that, in all intents and purposes, this idea of alignment in this way. Right? Inlaid, right, in this necessity to grow is really to die to self. Growth, spiritual growth, happens in our lives when we align ourselves with God. And, or I could say in many ways, we realign ourselves with God. Like I said, I've been a joy watching people grow through the years. And I remember particularly there was a couple that came to church and met with me in my office. And so they came and they basically wanted to get married. And they asked me to do the ceremony. And they asked me if I would be willing to do it. And so I asked them, okay, you know, what's going on in your life, da-da-da-da-da. And then I found out that actually the bride is not a Christian. And so as a policy at our church, and actually many churches, I told myself, I'm sorry, I cannot marry you guys. Because if you guys get married in, you know, according to what we read in the scriptures, it would be considered a sin, right? Because we're not supposed to be, you know, unequally yoked. You know, we're not supposed to share with a non-believer in that way. Not that we have anything against that. And so I just said, why don't you just wait? You know, and if you know, this is my usual line is if you really believe that this person is the one that God has for you. Now usually I talk to the Christian. And if this is a person that God has for you, then obviously this person is meant to be saved. And so can you just wait a little bit and make sure that happens first? Then you enter into your married life, you know, with the full blessing of God. And, you know, it was you know, got a little tense in our meeting a little bit. And you could tell, you know, felt very downcast. And, you know, for me, I felt bad. You know, for saying that, you know, as a human being, but as a pastor, no way, man, right? You're not supposed to do that kind of stuff, you know? And then later on, then I found out that they actually were living together during this time. And I was like, well, why are you doing that? You know, that's also not biblical. And if you want God to bless your life and your relationship and everything, then probably the best thing is do it God's way. In other words, realign yourself with God. And so, and then the person told me this story, and man, it was heart-wrenching. So, long story short, he had lost his job. And so he lost his job, and then his family that was abroad, his sister had cancer or something. I mean, like had a disease, difficult, and single mother, and she was, you know, using all of her money to help the sister. Whatever money he had, he was sending to, you know, to his mom to help sick sister. I mean, if there's any point in 27 years of ministry that I wanted to bend the rules, that was the time. And so he moved in with his girlfriend, and it wasn't like a thing for convenience. It wasn't for a test drive. It was because there was a dire situation at home happening. And I remember sitting in the office, and I was like, oh, man. Honestly, if there's any time, you know, for, you know, PSAM to have some compassion, you know, I mean, honestly, right? This would have to be the time. You know, and I'm wrestling with God. And as I said, Lord, can we just make an exception? Surely this is not one of those sinful things, and, you know, but can we just make an exception? And of course, we can't. You know, we have to align ourselves with God. Sometimes it's going to be painful. And so, but I did say, you know what, bro? Why don't you move in with me? You know? You know, it's okay. You can move in, and we have a little guest room, and I know it's going to feel awkward, you know, living with your pastor, but I'm a pretty fun guy, you know, and I'm not going to just, like, you know, pray, you know, Bible verses over you every second. You know what I mean? It's okay. And then he's like, well, I don't know if I want to do that. And then I just remember he says, you know what? Can we pray? Let's just pray right now that God will provide for you something supernatural. And so I said, Lord, you know, please help my brother. You know, it's crazy. In that week, a friend of his calls him up out of the blue and invites him to move in with him. So he moves in, right? His fiance, shortly afterwards, gets saved, right? Gives her life to the Lord. You know, they get married, you know, have children, and happily ever after. You know what I mean? And it's amazing. But see, that's the whole thing. Sometimes alignment, you know, living God's way is sometimes the hard path. Not sometimes. Most times it's the hard path to take. Let me read you this thing. saying yes to Jesus means saying no to other things. Saying yes to Jesus means saying no to other things. And this brother had to say no to certain things and had to wait and had to align himself and do it God's way. And if you talk to this family, they were so blessed. I remember a couple years after that, you know, we had dinner together, and we were just talking, and I just looked over to the wife, and I said, "Oh, you must have really hated me. You must have really hated me, you know, for what I shared with you, and you know, and just taking that stand with you, and especially you know, you're not even a believer. You don't know all this stuff." And she said, "No, so I respected it. I respected it. It taught me something about Christianity, you know." And see, sometimes when you say yes to Jesus, it means saying no to a lot of other things. And I think that's why we don't grow. Because we say yes to Jesus, and we say yes to so many other things. We say yes to Jesus, but it's all right. I can still do yoga, you know. You know, we say yes to Jesus, and we're like, "Oh, it's okay. You know, I can still, you know, go to the temple." You know, we say yes to Jesus, and, you know, I could still, you know, read my Buddhist books and do my chants and things like that. No, you can't. Christianity doesn't work that way. It never worked that way. I mean, think about it. This is not just a Christian spiritual thing. This is a life thing, okay? Think about some of you guys are married here. Think about when you got married. And you stand in the altar before your friends and family, before the minister and before God, and you said yes to your spouse. When you inherently said yes to your spouse, you said no to every other woman that was out there. Amen? Okay, that was really weak. I mean, it's so true, right? I mean, in life, we know that. If you say yes to this company that you're working for, you're saying no to every other company. You're not working for them. It's the same idea. But I don't know why we get it so mixed up and we think God is so gracious. And, you know, listen, God's very clear with this. When you say yes to Jesus, it means saying no to a lot of other things. I remember in with Lisa, when she first, and after like so many years, she first started warming up to me, and she was actually being nice to me and talking with me. And I thought, well, I got a chance, you know. After 2 years of pursuing her, something's going on. And we were like, I don't think we've gone on. I think we did go on a date. And I mean, things were looking good. Things were moving along. And then guess what? I got a call out of the blue from my ex-girlfriend. And my ex-girlfriend, you know, we dated for a while, and she calls me out of the blue, and she wants to meet up. You know, and you know, I mean, all intents and purposes, she wanted to get back together. And so she wanted to meet up, and so I was like, "Oh, crap, you know, what do I do?" And I mean, every woman here is thinking, "Stupid, you know what to do, right?" But you know, young guy, what do I do? And so long story short, I didn't meet up with her, but in a parking lot, okay, with, you know, nothing else, because I didn't want to go to any public place. I just wanted, like, be able to drive off very quickly afterwards. I mean, that was really my purpose, and I just had to say, "No, I'm starting to see somebody, you know," and I mean, it's nothing official, nothing there, but, you know, I just knew. If I was going to say yes to Lisa, it meant saying no to everybody else. And we know this. But for whatever reason, we say yes to Jesus, but we say yes to a lot of different things. And a lot of those different things are not very good for us. And they bring us down, and they break us, and they harm us. And it causes us to not walk in the things of the Lord. And we have to be mindful. listen, going back to this, just survey your Christian life, or survey just your life, okay? If you're not growing, you are out of alignment. Honestly, if you are not growing, you are out of alignment. All healthy, living things grow. It's a reality. And so if there's not a growth that's happening in your life, you're not growing in all different ways, then you are out of alignment with God in some way. Get in alignment. We're gonna be talking about this over the next few weeks. You know, how do we do that? And some pitfalls and things that we're going through in this way. And so get in alignment. But as we get there, let me show you a process that happens in our life, okay? And so we'll kind of just, you know, I'll close with this. And so I just call it the first alignment in our process. Our first alignment, I call it come and see. Come and see. I shared this before in another message, but I thought it was so important. First alignment, come and see. I believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it. This is where some of you may be at. I believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it. 1 John chapter 1, 38 and 39. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and he said to them, "What do you seek?" And he said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." One of the guys that he's talking to is Andrew. This is Peter's brother. And Andrew was looking for something. He wanted something for himself. Maybe he wanted peace. Maybe he wanted purpose. Maybe he wanted eternal life. Brothers and sisters, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And so we all start our journey in this way. I believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it. You say, well, it keeps me out of hell, fire insurance. I get my sins forgiven. I get to be spiritual. You know, I get to be part of something out of this world. There could be friendships and church and community that could be formed from the gospel. And sometimes it's just the satisfaction of a seeking heart. I believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it. Again, nothing wrong with that. It's a great, great place to start. And if we're all honest, I mean really honest, we'd probably say that every single one of us, we came to Jesus because we wanted something. We didn't come without any ulterior motives. I mean, let's just be really real for a moment, okay? You know, we came because we had a need. We came to Jesus because we wanted eternal life. We came because there were some problems in our lives. We came because maybe there was some issue or something. But we came because we needed new life. We needed a community, friends. We needed help. We needed God. And so maybe we need to be forgiven. We need to be healed. We needed purpose. And so we came to the Lord. There was some sort of need, and we benefited from it. I believe in the gospel enough to benefit from it. In this scenario, we get a lot, but God doesn't really get that much. We don't give a lot. We get a lot, we don't really give a lot. This is grace, so much grace, unmerited favor, right? You get what you don't deserve. I mean, such a blessing. In other words, good starting point, but if we stay at this level, you won't grow. You're not going to grow. And then you get to the second alignment, the second part of the process. And if the first one was come and see, the second one is come and follow. Come and follow. And this is how I characterize this. I believe in the gospel enough to contribute comfortably to it. I believe in the gospel enough to contribute comfortably to it. In John 1:43, He says, and the next day he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip. And then Jesus said to him, follow me. Come and follow. I believe in the gospel enough to contribute comfortably to it. So now we understand, and we've been experiencing the benefits of the gospel, and we realize that, man, you know, God's called me, God's given me so much, and he's called me to serve and to help and be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing, is this idea. And so we try to follow the Lord in that way, right? But the key here in this alignment that takes place is convenience. The reality is we only do it when it's convenient for us to do it. We really, really won't go out of our way in many ways, but we can contribute comfortably to this. Sometimes you may go out of your way, but that would be an anomaly. That would not be normal part. Our Christian life here is very, very safe. We set the boundaries. And for the most part, we live within those boundaries. You know, I was listening to this philosopher. I've been watching so many YouTube things these days. I was listening to this guy, and it was really good. He was saying that, you know, that God is free everywhere in the world except for one place. It's the human heart, and in that place, God asks us to choose. I'm sorry. Actually, this was Os Guinness again, right? So now remember, it was Os that said that. It was so powerful. He said, God is free everywhere except one place, the human heart. You know, and to illustrate that, he was talking about that famous picture by Holman Hunt, you know, where he stands at the door and knock, you know, this ivy. He stands at the door and knock, Revelation 3, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and what's up with him and he with me, and those things. And he says, if you notice in that picture, there's no door handle on the outside. And Holman Hunt was very, very particular. He wanted to make sure that only we can open the door for Jesus to come into our hearts. He's free everywhere except the human heart. And so, right, so we set the boundaries. I'm thankful for being saved and I'm thankful for the church, but I'm just going to set this boundary here, and I'm not going to go outside of this boundary whatsoever. And we're comfortable. We're nice Christians. And that's enough. That part of alignment, that's enough. The problem is that kind of Christian will never change the world. That kind of Christian, right, will not change their neighborhood or their company or their family in any way. They'll be semi-blessed, but that's about it. You know, Henry Blackaby, you know, author of Experiencing God, said this. He said, will God ever ask you to do something that you're not able to do? The answer is yes. All the time. It must be that way. For God's glory and kingdom, if we function according to our ability alone, we get the glory. If we function according to the power of the Spirit within us, God gets the glory. He wants to reveal himself to a watching world. That's what he wants. And then for other Christians, we know that this Christian life is just simply not enough. And then we go into a realignment, and it's the third alignment. And if you have any idea where we're going and what we want to do at SP, this is where we're going. It's the third alignment, which says, come and die. Come and die. I believe in the gospel enough to give my life to it. I believe in the gospel enough to give my life to it. I was the last member of my family to become a Christian. It was my junior year in university. I actually had been going to church since late junior high, but I never really went to service. Just ducked in and out. For years, I did that. And then altogether, just stopped going. And just, you know, not really interested. But I would go to service and, you know, something like this, and the pastor would share the gospel, and it sounded really good. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I could be free. You know what I mean? All the bad stuff I did could be erased away. And then on top of that, he would give me eternal life. And then really, I don't have to do anything for this. It, you know, it talks about a free gift. I mean, this is like incredible. And the pastor would ask us to raise our hand or come to the front in these things. And I tell you, I've been in so many meetings. I was so close. I wanted to, with every fiber of my being, lift my hands, but I couldn't. You know why? I mean, there are a couple of reasons, but one of the main ones, I knew inherently that if I raised my hands, that meant that my life did not belong to me anymore. And it just scared me. It just scared me. As a non-Christian, right, as a non-believer, I just understood that reality, that if I gave my life to Jesus, then I do not have a life anymore, then it totally belongs to Him. And I was really nervous. And so for many years, I just didn't raise my hand. And, you know, and kind of avoided, you know, that time. And so I usually duck out and hit the refreshment table, you know, right away. That was kind of my thing. And then I just hover around the table for a while until everything was done. And it's something. But come and die. I believe in the gospel enough to give my life to it. John 12, 23 to 25. And Jesus was saying to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life." I'll share this great quote. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he says this. He says, "When Christ bids a man come, he bids him come and die." When Christ bids a man come, it's a book, Cost of Discipleship. When Christ bids a man come, he bids him come and die. We come and die. This kind of Christianity is living for the eternal. It's not living for the now, for the temporal. It's living for a life that is eternal, that matters for eternity. Brothers and sisters, this is not just a Christian idea. Now, I know Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is a Christian, but I think people in the world resonate with this saying. And he says this. He says, "If a man hasn't discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live." If a man hasn't discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live. This is kingdom living. This is when we talk about spiritual growth, when we talk about to know Him, to be like Him, to make Him known, when we talk about encountering God, when we preach, when we sing, you know, all these different things, when we say yes to Jesus, it means saying no to many, many other things around us. It's aligning our life before the Lord. And I have a strong, strong sense as we're closing out this year of 2020 that many of us need to realign for a moment. I think we've kind of lost our way a little bit. Maybe with COVID and all the things that are happening, we kind of got a little out of whack. And God wants us to realign ourselves with Him and so that we can grow. And so, listen. It's not all just about growth. It's really about a response to God and the cross. You know, Jesus Christ has done so much for me, and so I don't respond out of guilt. You know, I don't respond because I need to, or else, you know, I'm going to get punished by God. But I respond because of His grace. We love because He first love me. And this is just a holy response to the grace that he has shown to me. Because He has called me and He's chosen me, therefore I follow. I don't follow so that He can love me more. I follow because He loves me so much. It's the heart of the gospel. And when we come to this place and we talk about come and die, this idea, it's so much, and it's not like the Buddhist or the Hindu or you know, all these idea of just, you know, we die and that's it, so there's nothing. You know, we die so that Christ can live inside of us. And so that the death that happens brings about resurrection power in our lives. That's what really we're talking about. It's a life that goes beyond ourselves. Can you imagine what that would be like if a church in Hong Kong or anywhere in the world really begin to establish that, so that we weren't just intent on come and see and come and follow, but we recognize that we came to die to ourselves, and so that Christ may live within us. It's a beautiful reality that he has us walking in, but it requires a bit of bravery. I feel like I'm turning the corner here. I feel like a lot of us in our faith, we are settling. For whatever reason, we are settling. And God wants to give us the real thing, but we're basically settling for poor substitutes. Many of us are settling for emotions instead of the Holy Spirit. Many of us are settling for sleep instead of rest. We're settling for quiet instead of peace. Or we're settling for sex instead of intimacy. There's so much that God has in store for us, but for whatever reason, we're settling in this place. Let me just end with this story. There was a general in the Persian army, and whenever there were other prisoners that were about to be condemned, right? So, I mean, you know, they're about to die. And he would always offer them two choices, which is crazy. He would offer them, you could either have the firing squad or you could have the black door. And so this Persian general was being interviewed through this, and he says, few ever chose the black door. They always chose the firing squad. And so he was asked one day, he says, general, what is on the other side of that door? And the general just simply replied, freedom, freedom. And this is what he says, I've known only a few men brave enough to take it. I've only known a few men brave enough to take it. Brothers and sisters, I believe there are two doors in front of you today as we round out this year. One door is the path to life. It's a more difficult door, but it's a door to this abundant life in Jesus Christ. The other door is much safer. You already know what it is. It's safe. It's convenient, and so on and so forth. But I reckon I just get a sense in my spirit that we're a little tired of that right now. And so we're looking for another adventure or a new adventure. Have some courage to open that door to spiritual growth. To open that door to saying no to certain things as we have said yes to Jesus. Amen. Let's close our eyes. As the worship team comes, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Have you been settling in your Christian life? Have you been going through the motions? As we finish off such a tumultuous year, can we thrive to the finish line of 2020? I sense this with all my heart. I think there's an opportunity in front of us. And it's not so much that the year is over or it's going to be over soon, but that we run to the finish line of 2020. And it's going to only happen as we align ourselves with God. I'm going to pray over us in a moment, and we're going to worship and sing a song together. But I'm going to ask the Lord to reveal to you some things that you need to say no to. When you say yes to Jesus, it means saying no to some other things. And I just want you to just to wrestle with God. I don't know what it is, but Holy Spirit will speak to you. So can we pray? Lord, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters right now. Before we enter into time of worship again, before we close our service, would you whisper into their heart of hearts what they need to say no to that allows them to align their life before you? Come, Holy Spirit. Your servants are listening. Your sons and daughters who want to do your will are listening. So just quiet your heart and just receive. He's going to talk to you because He cares about you. The team's going to lead us in a song. I want to encourage you to spend time with Jesus right now. We continue to pray and invite us to stand to our feet and let's sing this. Let's sing this as an anthem, a real seal to our prayers today.
Christ in me. Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain. Christ in me is to live, to die is my, you're my King, you're my song.
Paul said that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's not an empty dying like you see in other world religions. We don't just die for emptiness. We die because then resurrection power, Christ, fills those empty spaces. I want to challenge you as we round up this year to realign our lives with God once again. No matter where you're at, come and see, come and follow. We start moving, aligning ourselves to come and die. Let's pray. Lord, you desire every person here to walk in the stature and the fullness of the Son of God. You want every single one of us here to be more like Jesus. In order for that to happen, God, there's got to be all that stuff that's about me that needs to be eradicated in some way. We need to align ourselves with you once again, Lord. And so would you teach us, would you convict us, God, of things that we have been saying yes to, Lord, that are not, that are contrary to saying yes to Jesus. And help us this week and the coming weeks, Lord, to realign our lives back to you. We thank you, Lord. We know that your grace is sufficient for us, that your power is going to help us through this process, that we're not doing it by ourselves. But as we submit ourselves to you and draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And so we thank you for that, God. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give someone a high five or an elbow five or fist pump and say, man, let's align our life with God this week. If you need prayer for anything, healing, whatever, you can come up to the front. Our well ministers will pray for you. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your Sunday. God bless you guys.